The yard signs have collapsed and the unopened champagne continues to chill. We ask what happened to Dusty Johnson's gubernatorial campaign. You're listening to SDPB's Dakota Political Junkies. I'm Lori Walsh. U.S. Congressman Dusty Johnson placed third in the Republican gubernatorial primary, and politicos across the state are asking how one of South Dakota's most popular politicians could land so short in a well-funded race to the front door of the governor's mansion. Was it the barrage of television ads that seemed to lack consistency or authenticity? Had Johnson gone too far right in order to appeal to the president? Had he compromised too much with congressional Democrats to maintain trust at home among party faithfuls? Journalist Kevin Wooster says history will probably be kind to Dusty Johnson's voting record as everyone waits to see what the candidate might do next. I spoke with Kevin Wooster from the SDPB studios in Rapid City.
A friend of mine said late in the campaign, whoever is ad manager needs to be fired. And this is a person who's worked on a number of campaigns. And I don't know if that was strong. I don't know if that was fair. His ads were weak. And I think I may have mentioned this to you before. Last time we spoke, I never thought he connected through his ads very well. He seemed, as I write in the piece, awkward and kind of stiff, and everything seemed kind of forced. And unlike Roden's ads, which were so natural, and he seemed so genuine. And you know, the other problem was a guy told me the day after the election, I got so sick of seeing his ads, meaning Dusty's ads. I think a lot of people voted against him just because they were sick of the ads. Because he did seem to dominate, and I don't understand ad placement and buys and things very well, but I thought many times, my gosh, how many times are we going to see this same ad over and over and over again? And people were irritated by it. So I thought his ad scripting was off. I think putting him in a situation where he's out pretending to work on a ranch or in a farm just didn't work for me. Mm. And as we've spoken, you know, he's a very good speaker in front of a group and in public during an interview. He's very articulate. He's quick on his feet. And somehow it all just didn't work in those advertisements.
Do you have any memory of what kind of ads he did in the past? Was this a change, or was it just that politics has moved on from what he knew how to do in the advertising space?
Well, that's a good question. And the thing that sticks out about his ads in the past were his kids. And when they were younger, it seems to me like I can remember, you know, really enjoying one or two of those ads with his boys. And there was one early on in this cycle, as we came near the election, where he was hustling the three boys who are now, you know, basically young men, at least one of them, and the others are getting there. And that was not bad. That was, I think, one of the better ads. And then there was one near the end of this cycle where, and I kept thinking, just talk to the camera. Just talk to us. You know, do what you do when you speak to a Kiwanis group or a room full of Republicans or, at a town hall or something. Just talk to us directly. I thought Doden had generally good ads. When Hansen was able to put an ad on the air when he had the money, I think his ads were pretty good.
Dusty. Let's pause from the Dusty conversation and talk about John Hansen for a minute, because, you know, he's not mentioned a lot. He came in fourth, but this campaign was kind of a win for him. He built name recognition. He had a respectable vote pull, even though he was in fourth place. What do you think went well for John Hansen, and will we see him again?
Well, I agree with you. I think it was a good showing for him. Who thinks fourth is a winning place? But, you know, there was really very little separation between the four candidates in the end. And I didn't know much about Hansen because I didn't cover him. He really came after I'd stopped legislative coverage. And I was impressed when he debated, and I think a lot of people were. He debated well. Mm-hmm. When he did have an ad, I thought it was an effective ad. And I think I told you about loving the social media thing where he was playing an electric guitar on his bus, you know, downtown Del Rapids. And when I think the first time I heard him interviewed with you on your show, I was impressed because I had kind of considered him kind of a hard right Bible thumper. Not that, you know, I've got anything against the Bible. I thump it sometimes myself. But he came off as a, yes, very conservative, yes, very strong Christian, but a very reasonable guy and a smart guy. And I think voters responded to that. He certainly held his people and picked up some more.
Yeah, I don't think he took any real damage across the bow either, and I think he's going to come back in the future with, you know, this is not the last time we'll be talking about John Hansen in South Dakota state politics.
Yeah, I agree.
Dusty, you argue, just had a hard time finding his place, and some of his votes in Congress came back in negative attack ads from his opponent saying this is what he voted in Congress. The whole problem solver caucus, which worked really well for him in the beginning, in the end came back to bite him, except you say, wait a little bit, history will hold up that he was making good decisions. Tell me a little bit about how this might be viewed, not a week out, but a year out or even 10 years out.
Well, one of the disappointments for me about Governor Roden was the ad where he referred to the January 6th committee as a witch hunt. And as we talked about in the column, Dusty voted initially for a nonpartisan commission, which didn't go anywhere, which I thought was a great idea to investigate January 6, 2021, the attack on the Capitol, the insurrection, not some FBI false flag operation, but a real assault on the Capitol in dangerous times and hurt people and dead people and, you know, serious stuff needed to be investigated. And Dusty did the right thing there. And just as he had done, and later on the committee was formed that wasn't really nonpartisan, even though they had a couple of Republicans on it, but so it was kind of nonpartisan. But and he also did the right thing when he voted against Trump's overreach of power on emergency funding by the president, not by Congress, for border wall before that. And he got hurt on that. He got hurt when he voted not to kick Lynn Cheney out of leadership, GOP leadership. And to me, those are the votes, the kind of votes that are going to stand up, and they're also the kind of votes that hurt him. And as I said about the problem solvers, bipartisan group that he's in, a lot of the voters in the Republican primary would rather have troublemakers than problem solvers. And Dusty tried to be a reasonable problem solver during his 7.5, will be 8 years in Congress. And I think Dusty will look back on what he did and thought, given the challenging times that I was in with a president like the one we had and the demands like we had, I think I did a pretty decent job. And those votes will stand up specifically in history very well.
And he was in Washington on January 6th. He was on our show the day after describing what had happened and what his staff went through. It seemed reasonable from the vantage point that he had at the time, that he would want to know more about what happened that day.
Absolutely. When I saw it pop up on the screen, I texted him right away and said, are you okay? And he texted back and said, I don't know. They can't hold them. I mean, we didn't know at that time whether the members of Congress were going to end up dead or what, and they didn't know. Things change.
So is there room in politics for someone who is a reasonable problem solver?
We didn't seem to indicate that in the primary election. I guess we'll get a chance to answer that question again in the runoff, because I would certainly qualify or categorize Governor Roden as a reasonable problem solver. Maybe not in the way that Dusty Johnson is or was in D.C., is for another 6.5, 7 months, whatever that is. But I think that's going to be kind of the vote. Do you want somebody to come in with a wrecking ball to government and the system we know it and, potentially, I don't know, the schools? I don't know how far this goes, but if you don't have property taxes or you sharply cut them, as Doden wants to do and kind of pledged to do, that's a wrecking ball, and that's not Roden. And the thing about Roden is he's always been a real solid guy, a West River welder who puts things together. I love that about his ads. he takes care of things, and we'll have a chance to vote on that question again, I think. But I think it's an open question.
Yeah, how hard is it now to go to Washington and come home again? You know, Kristi Noem did it, and then she went back to Washington, and now we're not sure what her political future is. Dusty Johnson goes to Congress and had a harder time coming home and landing that office. Times have changed. What do you see in the future for, you know, a Marty Jackley, who has gone through the primary, at least if he defeats his opponents in November, he'll go to Washington. Is that a political dead end because of the complexities of Washington?
It certainly is a complex place this year and or these times. And I don't know. I one thing Marty's not going to do is cast some of the votes that Dusty casted if he has an opportunity. I'm pretty sure of that. You know, he's seen by some as a little bit of an establishment guy, too. That was why some of the people voted for his opponent in the primary. But he's been pretty MAGA careful. And you know, he mentions the president glowingly fairly regularly, which Dusty was trying to do, too. You know, but in the end, I don't think the real hardcore MAGA folks ever bought Dusty's conversion, if you can call it that, or his stronger showing in support of Trump, which he certainly did, as you know, the last few years. A lot of people criticized him for going to MAGA.
Right. It didn't feel authentic. Did Dusty Johnson forget who he was? Does he know who he is politically? These are all open questions.
Yeah, that, how do you know who you are politically anymore?
Right. And then the big question is, what does he do next? So he said, looking forward to supporting other Republicans, but we don't know if he's going to run for office again. We don't know what his support will look like for other Republicans. We're still learning those things. What do you think he does next? What's his next move?
Well, I assume he's going to work hard to finish this term and try to get a lot done. And somebody asked me, well, now is he going to speak out like, you know, Tillis speaks out or whoever? And I said, I doubt it. He may somewhat more than the cautious tones he've used during the campaign cycle, but he may still have some plans for a run. Another guy said he's too good at being a politician and actually serving to not run again. But then somebody else told me he's toxic, and this was a person who ended up voting for Doden for reasons that I find inexplicable, but.
You don't sound like you're a Doden fan, by the way. But there's lots we don't know about Toby Doden yet as a candidate. Yeah,
maybe he'll prove me wrong. He certainly proved me wrong in the way he won this campaign, won this election. Now he spent a lot of money doing it, but he concerns me because of the respect I have for the process. I've watched state government in South Dakota since the early 1970s, covered it since the late 1970s, seen a lot of people work really hard to make state government more efficient, seen if there's a whole bunch of waste out there, I don't see it. Do you really think Bill Janklow missed all that? Do you think Dennis Dugard missed all that? I mean, those guys were pretty hardcore budget cutters when the cuts were needed. And there's just a lot of really good people that made hard decisions to get us where we are as a state. And to come in and say that this is horrible mess and we need to bust it all up and rebuild it, that worries me, and I just think it's wrong. I think it's ignorant.
Journalist Kevin Wooster wrote his thoughts about Dusty Johnson's campaign on the South Dakota Searchlight website. You can find it there at southdakotasearchlight.com. And that is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. There is, of course, a runoff election between businessman Toby Doden and Governor Larry Roden to see who Republicans will send to the November ballot. You can find all our analysis of that race right here on the Dakota Political Junkies podcast. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.